Psalm 23, and we're up to verse 5. Continued on with part of verse 5. Kind of read the whole thing again to get a good context of it. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now tonight, thou anointest my head with oil. Thank you, Father, for your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us, Father. We pray in the blessed Lord Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay, so tonight, Psalm 23, and continued on with part of verse 5. David says, being one of God's sheep, and concerning his shepherd, he says, thou anointest my head with oil. Well, David is speaking as one of God's sheep, all right? But tonight, we want to look at the sheep and how they get anointed with oil. But we're going to also see who else gets anointed with oil. Kings get anointed with oil. Priests get anointed with oil. Lepers get anointed with oil. The sick get anointed with oil. And we, the saved, are anointed spiritually with the oil of the Holy Ghost. So first, let's look at the sheep and why they get anointed, okay? The shepherd will anoint the sheep with oil on their head very often to help alleviate trouble with nasal flies. Remember we told you about those nasal flies, those bot flies, they'll lay those eggs, their larva gets in there and it worm its way up. Well, when they start doing it, to kind of give relief and I guess even prevention, he'll put oil on the sheep's head. Put it maybe around the nose areas, but he'll put the oil on the sheep's head, anoint it with oil to help with those nasal flies. And it is said that the effect is dramatic. The distracted sheep's behavior changes immediately. Because those nasal flies are just messing with it. It's irritating. It's vexing. Brethren, don't you go through a day vexed with the powers of darkness affecting your thoughts or trying to? And isn't it exactly like that? Just buzzing around, just vexatious. Whether it's lustful thoughts, whether it's angry thoughts, whether it's the thoughts of surmising or thoughts about your health, or just all kinds of thoughts, just buzzing around, just constantly, and just annoying you. But brethren, you know something? As soon as we can get the presence of God's Spirit, pull aside and pray or get something, it calms that down and it brings relief and it brings help. Again, irritating, vexing, distracting thoughts. Irritating, vexing, distracting thoughts. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Constantly, brethren, constantly. And you know something? Brethren, I don't understand the whole thing, how it all completely works, but there's at some times of the year, there are seasons of the year that gnats and flies and mosquitoes are worse than others. And did you know I believe there are seasons to when demonic, unclean distractions are worse. Does not the Bible say that the devil departed from Jesus for a season? So there was a season there that the devil laid off, but then the season comes and he comes back. Brethren, there are places that have more trouble with flies and gnats and mosquitoes than other places. You know, you go up in the upper part of the state, you don't have those sand fleas as much messing with you. You know, maybe they say in parts of those bogs up in Alaska, the mosquitoes are horrible. Certain places. What I'm saying is, brethren, there are places and there are times that mosquitoes and gnats and flies are worse than others. And brethren, there are seasons and there are places that can cause the distractions caused by unclean spirits to be worse than at others. Do you know something? The earlier part of this week, I talked to more than one person, and I found out even yesterday, Someone else admitted they'd gone through the same. It's like, I don't know if any of you else here, but it's like at the start of this week, it's like there was something going on. I had more than one person tell me it's like they woke up Monday with something just fighting them, just on them. It was as real as could be. It was nothing based on factual something. What I mean is something that you could deal with. It was just that. More than one individual. More than one. I found out yesterday, another person said the same thing. Told me the same thing. No, it was today, I believe. Told me the same thing that they'd gone through. And brother, I ain't got it all figured out. I don't. Wouldn't attempt to. But I have noticed through the years, it seems that when the enemy jumps on folks, it happens a lot of times, not just to others in the same place, but many times others across the whole world. And I wonder sometimes, I know that right now there are events going on with Israel. I don't know how it all works. I don't. But I have seen through the years, it's like when one person's going through it, and we know the same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren in the world, but sometimes it seems like it's unleashed in more than one place sometimes. And it's just like there's a season of it. Overall, for all maybe of Christianity, or maybe there's a season of it for individuals, or a season of it, and there are places. But those things happen. They do. And we know the devil departed for a season with the Lord. And he would come back to harass and to torment and to vex. And brethren, listen, the Lord Jesus knows what's that light. That's light because the devil vexed him. He didn't give place to him. That's the problem. My problem is I give place to it. My Lord knows what it's like to be vexed. He knows what it's like to be vexed and tormented by that stuff and trying to get your thoughts distracted. He just didn't give into it, bless his name. I tend to give place to it, and then I have to fight it all off and regain the ground I got. You know what I'm saying? That's the stuff there, you know. But our Lord knows. And so, brethren, what will help with that is just like the shepherd puts that oil, that anointing of God's Spirit, that of yielding the Spirit of God, that takes it, can calm that down. Because so often, brethren, it's just vexing. It's nothing that's concrete. It's nothing that real. It's just a torment, a vexing, distracting, irritating thought buzzing around your head. And it can get you so distracted, you can almost get to where you can't function. Sheep get like that. Sheep can get so distracted, they'll just do anything to get relief. I've read that they'll beat their head against trees. They'll just run off and even run off blindly and get themselves hurt because they just... Let me say this. Have you ever had something vex you and you just want to take off running? Think about that. Sheep, they feel like that. They feel that. They're like, ah! And they're trying to get some relief. Haven't you ever been like, ah! And you just want to take it and just take off running. And just go. And just... That's what a little thing like. Just beat my head against the wall. Just like, ah! He's trying to vex you, to torment you, those thoughts. All right, look here. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Brethren, often what it takes is pulling off somewhere. And I know so often we're so caught up with things it's hard to find that time. But to pull off somewhere and let the good shepherd apply that oil. Pull off somewhere, and you know, a lot of times, brethren, when you can pull off and just try to get a moment, God speaks that peace and says, wait a minute, what's really going on here? Is there anything real to this? Is there anything concrete? And that'll help you. It'll help you. Sometimes it helps to talk to the saints. Because one thing the devil wants to do is isolate you and get you to think. You know what he tried to do? If he can, he'll try to get you to thinking you're crazy. And the world ain't going to understand you. They'll never understand what you're going through. They'll never understand the stuff that you go through, the spiritual battles you face. And he wants to always keep you isolated, get you thinking, well, you're just about crazy, and just get you. And it helps to know the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world, go through the same kind of things. There's seasons of it, and strengthen and help one another. Man, brethren, tell you what. That kind of stuff is real. Why, the devil tried to get our Savior to doubt if thou be the Son of God. Man, Adoniram Judson, that missionary, pioneer missionary, did you know toward the end of his life, he got so depressed, he thought he was lost. Thought he was lost. Just think, listen, brother, we're not done fighting them battles till you pull the last breath. Amen. You know what's happened, brethren? A lot of the battles that you may face, saints from every age could have understood it except the saints of this age. Do you know something? When you read about them saints of old, all the saints of old understood them battles. It's the saints today that don't. And I'm telling you, a lot of times, it's either because a lot of times they're not really saved, or they're so used to doing everything in the strength of their own power and their own might, they don't understand what spirituality really is. Seriously. But them old saints understood that stuff. It's the saints today that seemingly can't get it. You know why? They can't get spiritual things. They can get things that they can do externally. Just it's like it's all, well, it's got to be simple. It's either this or that. It ain't like that, bud. It ain't like that. And them old ones understood it. But we're Laodicean in age. And that's where it comes with. Take your Bible. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. And you know what that means? That means, look here, grabbing those thoughts and saying, wait a minute, this is confusing. This is not coming from God. And you know what? I'm not yielding to it. See, here's the problem. Here's the problem. You can grab it, but it don't necessarily go away. It don't go away. And what you've got to do, brethren, what you've got to do is just keep grabbing hold of that thing. Don't let it go no further. Don't give no place to it. Get somewhere and let your good shepherd apply that oil. Apply that oil. And he'll speak peace to your heart. Get some word and pull aside to him. Let him apply that oil there to help you. A lot of times if you just get some word and get with God, he'll just help that. Help you keep going with it. But there is, brethren, there are seasons of it. There are times of it. And it's just as real as can be. Man. See, brethren, what's happened today, we've produced something. I think a lot of it has to do with, since we've produced this thing where salvation is done by men rather than God. So since a true spiritual work isn't done, people don't understand spiritual battles. They can understand things that are just black and white and this and that, but they can't understand spiritual battles. That's where we're at today. And it's sad. It's sad. Because if there's never been a time that there's been more of it that takes place. But that oil gets applied, those nagging, those vexatious things, the oil gets applied, calms the thing down. Listen, what else? Oil is applied to sheep to treat scab caused by parasites. Scab is most often found on the head of sheep. Because what happens is sheep will rub heads together and spread it. You know, sheep will get together. They'll rub heads. They're social animals. They like contact. They'll rub heads together. Let me tell you something. Be careful who you put heads together with. You may pick up something hurtful to you that may spread to others. Be careful who you rub heads with. You ever heard that phrase? Well, we need to put our heads together. You better be careful who you put your head together with. You better be very careful who you put your head together with. You're liable to pick up something. Gossip, wrong information, bad attitudes, bad doctrine. Be careful who you put your head together with. Again, oil is applied to treat it. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Second Corinthians 11. Second Corinthians 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Again, be careful who you put your heads together with. Be careful. Be careful who you get close to and rub heads with. You're liable to pick something up that will infect you and then spread and affect others. Oil or salve was also applied to the sheep's head to help diffuse the situations when rams butt heads. Read about a shepherd. He said during, you know, when the rams would start taking and want to mate with the ewes, you know what happens? Them rams start butting heads. So here's what he would do. He would take, you know, like oil or salve. He'd use a salve and smear it all over that ram's head. And when them two rams go to the, they'd kind of go. Phew. And instead they'd back up and look kind of each other kind of stupid like. Like, what happened? And they'd try it again. Phew, and they'd just slip off. And so they'd try it again. They'd just kind of slip off. They're like, well, forget that. Enough of that. And he, what he said it would do? It would reduce the tension and the conflict in the flock. Well, you know what? When you got saints butting heads, saints are going to butt heads. But you know something? If the oil of the Holy Ghost can get applied, you know what will happen? It just slides off. It just slides off. I mean, one of the things the oil does is what? It reduces friction. It dissipates heat. It'll do that. And you know what? If you're a good shepherd, just put a good dose of the anointing of God upon you. Somebody tries to butt heads with you. Well, they can try, but it just kind of slide off. They'll be like, that didn't work. I'll back up and try again. And that didn't work. And they'll try again. Finally, they're just like, well, this ain't getting nowhere. You understand, brother? But if you don't have that oil on you, then it's going to be some friction. Especially if you're hitting back. And it's going to be some friction. But that oil just helps it all slide off. Just helps it slide. Hadn't you ever noticed that when you allow God to fill you up, things just tend to slide off. Things just tend to slide off. Now that can vary as much as in a day. You can start out with God in the day, filled up, and things just, I mean. But you know what? By the end of the day, that oil's got a little thin. It's got a little thin, and things start getting a little irritating then toward the end of the day. It starts a little bit. And you just need to get some word again, let God just get that anointing on there again. Because I'm telling you, know, brother, if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. It just, when the Lord's filling you like that, it's just like, it just don't bother you. And the conflict just slides off. But boy, when it's not. Man, when it's not there. Again, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. All right. Look here. Not only that, not only sheep, but kings and priests were anointed. David said, thou anointest my head. Well, all kings and priests were anointed. Go to Exodus 30. Exodus 30. Exodus 30. Exodus 30. Look at verse 30. Exodus 30, verse 30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So priests were anointed. Okay? Kings were anointed. Go to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. It's interesting to find out who all was anointed. Again, kings, priests, sheep. Leopard, you know, 1 Samuel 16, look at verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. He took his horn of oil to go to anoint David to be king. So kings and priests were anointed with oil. Well, Revelation 1. See, the world thinks we're crazy. They do. The world thinks we're crazy, brother. You just got to understand that. I mean, brother, if you, can you imagine telling this world, I'm a king. Not that I'm a priest. They would laugh you out of here. But you are. If you're saved, you are. I don't know who it was, but I remember hearing about a man, I think in like the Middle Ages, around the maybe 1600s, 1560s, something like that. And he'd been praying. God, send me somebody to teach me Bible. And said he looked and he found this gentleman sitting on a bench or something somewhere. And he said, he went to him and said, who are you? What's your name? He said, I'm a king. He said, you're a king? Who told you that? And he gave him some scripture on it and loaded him up with some scripture. And he said, where'd you learn this at? He said, when I ceased going to man and went to God alone. And brethren, there's something. What I'm just telling you, brethren, is look here. Like I've always told y'all. Man, give God a chance. Give God a chance. You know the problem sometime with, and you don't see in your Bible the awarding of degree, title, and such things as that. Because you know what comes along with that? There's a temptation to think, I've got it. There's a temptation to think, okay, now I've got that verse. Brethren, God will take one verse of the Bible and do untold number of things with it. It's amazing. That book, you've heard me say it before, and I can't help but say it again. That book never ceases to amaze me. So much so that sometimes you about want to go like, whew, man, I better be careful. That thing's alive. It really is. I know we talk about it being alive. It is. It is. That's amazing. It's like no other book on the face of this earth. Look here. We're kings and priests. Now, the world may not look at that. They laugh at that. But if you're saved, you are. Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What did he make us? Kings and priests. That's what we are. If you're saved, king and priest. All right? Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 1. And kings and priests were anointed. Kings and priests were anointed. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. God's anointed us. If you're saved, you've been anointed by the Holy Ghost. He's your present possession. Baptized by him, born of him, anointed with him. You're a king and a priest. You're one of God's sheep. You've got an anointing. All right? Take your Bible, go to Leviticus 8. Watch this. Leviticus 8. Watch this. Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8, and look at verse 12. Leviticus 8 verse 12, and he poured the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. All right? So look what he did. When Moses anointed Aaron to sanctify him, the Bible says he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him in this high priest office. Okay, our anointing sanctifies us. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. The anointing we have sanctifies us. 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The new birth. The Holy Ghost sanctifies us, sets us apart. We've got an anointing. Now, you notice that was poured upon Aaron. He poured it up, took the oil, and he poured it on Aaron. Well, with that in mind, go to Psalm 133. Watch this thing. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like. So brethren dwelling together in unity, look what it's like. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. So see, when did that happen? That's when Moses took that oil, poured it on him, anointed him. Well, listen, it just wasn't a little bit. It ran down to his beard. It went down his garments. It went on down there. It just flowed down him. Just covered him. That anointing just went all over him. And the Bible says that's what it's like when brethren dwell together in unity. So with that in mind, go to Acts 10. Then what is that anointing a picture of? Well, the Holy Ghost. It's a picture of the Holy Ghost. And look, I mean, it just went down on his head, run down his beard, when his garments went down his feet. Just covered him up there in it. Just rolled on down in there. And the Bible says that anointing was like unity. Like unity when brethren dwell together. And that anointing is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'll be. Look at Acts 10 verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why, you know what? What happened here when they got born again just there? Well, the Holy Ghost was poured out. Well, what happened with Aaron? It was poured out on him. That oil was poured out on him, flowed down. What happened? You got saved. The Holy Ghost got poured out on you and in you. And you know what that oil's like? Unity. Hey, you know something? You know something? What was it? And what was one of the key things you saw about that early church? Unity. 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 Listen, one of the byproducts of being filled with the Spirit of God is unity. And brethren, unity is one of the things that pleases Him. Seriously, brethren. Seriously. Brethren, I'm all about, of course, we should be all about any way we get the gospel out. But can I ask you something? How? Now listen, hey. I'm not in one minute cutting down the scripture signs, the putting up of the scriptures, the putting out. Thank the Lord for it, all for it. But how come that church in Acts that had God just all over it, we can't see that they was putting up signs all over the place? We don't see that there was necessarily, what was the thing? What made it was like it's always been. It was the change of lives that men noticed. It was the change of lives that men noticed. What's killing Baptists today, brethren, so often is they're good about being bold outwardly, but they have a life and a character that stinks, that wouldn't draw nobody. Now, I'm being honest. If anything, so often the life repels. The life that's being lived repels. That's not what you see in the book of Acts. You see a people so transformed, so united, so caring for other people that it just opened up the doors for the witness and God did things. Amen. It's always been. And that's one of the byproducts of being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. It'll produce unity. It'll produce a love and a concern. It'll produce good work for others in the name of Jesus Christ. It'll have a character to it that will draw people and not repel them. And rather than you get filled with the Spirit of God, that's what'll happen. That's what'll happen. Brethren, look here. Listen. We mistake ourselves if we think that just by exposed. Brethren, I'm not cutting that down. Thank God for getting the scriptures out. But brethren, the power of a transformed life. That's what's going to draw somebody. The kingdom of God is, listen, not in word only, but in power. And we need that anointing and that power upon our lives. All right, look here. What's this thing? Who else was anointed? Sheep, kings, priests, lepers, and the sick were anointed. You know something? If you read it in your Bible, you know what you'll find out? That a cleansed leper had oil applied in the same way as a priest set apart for service. Ain't that wild? I think that's just wild. That's wild. Now listen, if there was a leper that was cleansed, he had that oil put on his ear, on his thumb, that big old thumb there, that big thumb, I won't make you take a shoe off, but on his big toe. And you know what happened when a priest was consecrated for service? I'll be on the ear, on the thumb, on the toe. That's an interesting thing. You know what I wonder? I wonder if it didn't kind of work a little bit like this. I wonder if it didn't help the leper know that he's not worthless. He's not worthless. He's cleansed now. And just like that priest gets anointed, he gets anointed with oil. And he's not worthless. He's not on the shelf. There's things for him to do. And it also lets the priest know that he's not indispensable or special on his own. Got that anointing, Mr. Priest? Well, a leper gets the same thing when he's cleansed. Kind of brings it all down there and keeps it where it all needs to be. You know, kind of gets you off your high horse, so to speak. You know? I mean, if you remember, like, wow, man, not everybody gets this anointing. Well, if you got leprosy, you cleanse, you do. Oh, yeah. And the leper can think, wow, I guess I'll have that stigma all my life. Well, come on, man, you've been cleansed. You get anointed just like a priest does. It's kind of interesting. Lord just always has a way of bringing things on a good balance, you know, just a good balance with it. And it also, it set one apart for healing. Go to James 5, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. You know what that oil does? Listen, what did the oil do for the priest? What did the oil do for the cleanse of it? It sanctified, it set him apart. The anointing of the Holy Ghost sets us apart. We can always pray for someone sick, but that anointing brings it to another level and sanctifies, sets that person apart uniquely and specially for this healing. You know, it's kind of like you can pray, but fasting notches it up. We always pray, it should, but there's also prayer and fasting. Fasting notches things a little bit. Well, you can pray for the sick and should, but that anointing will all notches it a little bit. It sanctifies them. It sets them apart uniquely as, look, they have got this. We are specifically bringing them up. We're setting them apart, sanctifying them, setting them apart for prayer here, asking for this healing. Kind of serve that kind of purpose. Well, what was some of the other uses of oil? Well, it was a sign of welcome and acceptance. Go to Luke 7. Luke 7. Luke 7. Verse 46. Luke 7, verse 46. My head, look what the Lord Jesus came in that man's house. And that guy wasn't very friendly to him. He let him in, you know, but he wasn't very friendly to him. Look what one of the things the Lord said he didn't do. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Listen, as a sign, as a hospitable guest, what you would do when somebody come into your home, you would anoint their head with oil. Now, you and I might not think that that is a big deal. We might wonder, well, why? I don't want no oil on my head. Well, wait a minute now. Listen, dry, dusty over there, a lot of different things. You know, one thing oil would do? One thing oil to do, it put a nice aroma to the hair there. And it helps to moisturize the hair. It'd be something that would be pleasing, that would be good and help moisturize it. You know, I tell you, one thing, I didn't realize it. One thing, of course, I had to find a beard oil that she liked. Got to make her happy. But one thing that I found out about when you grow your beard out just a little bit is that thing can get brittle. It can get brittle. It can get brittle. It can take and get all kind of. And, you know, you put some oil in that thing, and it keeps it where it don't get so brittle. It don't get so, you know, like that. And if your wife likes it, it smells good, so that's kind of good. But listen, what a host would do is they'd put oil on your head. And they'd get in your hair. I'm like, we're airing it in. And you and I might think about, I wouldn't want the oil on my head. Well, if he's over in a dry environment like that, and he's over in that kind of condition, you know, something nice smelling like that and something in your hair like that, well, you wouldn't mind it too good. You wouldn't mind it too bad. And it was something done as a way of showing hospitality. In fact, the Lord said, you didn't anoint my head with oil. That was something you would do as a way of hospitality if you're a good host. Now, don't worry. I ain't going to pour oil on your head if you come to my house. And you ain't going to pour oil on my head if I come to yours. If you put it on mine, it's really going to run in my eyes and all over the place. But we don't do that. But they did over there. It was a sign of hospitality. Now, here's a point I'm getting at. Go to John 4. John 4. Jesus said, you didn't anoint my head with oil, because that was a sign of welcome. It was a sign of acceptance. John 4, verse 13. And why in the world? 1 John 4. I mean, I was looking at that thing like, what does that have to do with the price of eggs in Monk's Corner? All right, look here. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 13. 1 John 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Now, I hope you see what I'm tying in here. When someone come into your home, you welcomed, let them know that they were welcome and accepted. You anointed them with that oil. You know how we know that we are welcome and accepted by Jesus? By the gift of the Holy Ghost that he gave us when we got born again. I put my faith in Christ, and the Lord lets me know you're accepted. You are welcome, and I accept you by giving me his Spirit. That's how I know I'm his, and I am accepted. By the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right. Look what else it does. Go to Ruth 3. Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. And look here at verse 3. Ruth chapter 3. And look at verse 3. The Bible says this. Look what Naomi said to Ruth. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known to the man till he shall have done eating and drinking. Now she is getting ready to go see if she can't wangle a marriage proposal out of this thing. She's needing a husband. Naomi's going to look for her, trying to get her one. And she says, now, Ruth, here's what you do. Go wash yourself. Because you need to smell good. And put some oil on you. Anoint yourself. All right? And go lay down. So she's, what does oil do? Well, it makes one appealing. It makes one appealing. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Oil makes one appealing. I mean, to be appealing to the one that she wants to be her husband, she anoints herself with that oil. I mean, that only makes sense. I mean, if your husband or wife says, I like that. Well, it don't take a brain surgeon to say, I probably need to buy that again. That wouldn't be fun. I like that. I'll never get it again. Well, that don't make no sense. Or if you hear that it's said like this, like, oh, phew. Is that sewer busted? Well, I wouldn't put that on again. I wouldn't do that. All right. So, that makes one appealing. Well, Galatians 5, look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, it makes one appealing, that anointing. And if you and I will walk in the Spirit, it'll be pleasing to God, the one we want to please, right? We want to please him. We want to be appealing to him. Walk in the Spirit. She anointed herself to be pleasing to Boaz. We want to be pleasing to the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, that he senses that aroma of the Spirit of God. Go take your Bible, go to Romans 8. Make you appealing to other people too. Romans 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, that's pretty straight up there. Brethren, if you and I operate in the flesh, can't please God. We had to get born again in order to know the mind of God, Christ. Know the mind of God. So walk in the Spirit and you and I can please God. And that's all that matters. You'll be fine with others if you walk pleasing to God. And the way to do that is walk in the Spirit. All right, go to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Look at verse 15. Psalm 104, verse 15. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine. Bread which strengthens man's heart. So oil makes the face shine. I ain't one to know about a lot of things. And I don't know if ladies today would want their face to shine or not. I know that when people get on TV, they don't like their face shining. You ever seen some of them fellas? Man, so some newscasters and all, they put so much on. Really, they do. They put makeup on so they don't get a glare that it's just like, and I don't know. You'd about to get another profession. That'd just be kind of rough. But the Bible speaks here in a good way of oil making your face to shine. Well, take your Bible, go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Somebody says, well, I got oily skin. Well, it might benefit you later on. I know family. The DeLucas and their daddy was Nick DeLuca. I preached his funeral, and Nick, his daughter said, yeah, daddy's just old greasy Italian. but he said, because I was noticing how old he was. I said, man, that joker's skin didn't look aged. They said, yeah, he's just a greasy Italian. I said, daddy's skin just always stayed, you know. I guess oil, you know, does like that. I'll throw another one out there too. And I think probably some of you know this. Youngins, I know that the world says the look is to go out there and get yourself all tanned up. Go ahead and have leather skin. We know of individuals coming up, they was always just, I mean, leather. Well, now they look like a baseball glove. Seriously. About look like a baseball glove. That skin gets dried up. Get that leather to look for it because they're out there worshiping sun god. I'm serious. It's just like... Anyway, watch here. Exodus 34, make the face to shine. Exodus 34, look at verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Wow. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come. Now, I bet they was. Yeah, I mean, you can't figure that thing out. I know we make jokes about, you know, radioactivity and glowing and stuff like that. Brethren, I don't know how that thing works, and you can't explain it. Moses shone. Moses spent time in the presence of God, and something got on him, and you could see it, and they had to cover up. They couldn't handle it. Man, that's a wild thing right now. Well, you know what? We just mentioned about Psalms, oil that makes the face of man to shine. Moses' face shone. We'll go to 2 Corinthians 3. We may not have the kind of shine like Moses had, but there's a shine the believer can get and people will notice it. You spend some time in the presence of God, somebody's going to know it. It's an intangible, it's an undefinable, but it's there. It is there. I'm guaranteed slap to you. Somebody that knew you before you were saved, and somebody see you after you're saved, walking with God, you ain't got to say nothing. They know. They tell something's different here. Hadn't you ever seen somebody that maybe you used to know, and now you see them, and before they even told you they were saved, you was like, I think they got saved. Because something you can just, it's just different. 2 Corinthians 3, look at verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, look at this, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. How? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Moses got in there with the Lord and his face shone. The Bible says, oil that maketh the face of man to shine. You get in that book, and the Holy Ghost will change you into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God, and you'll get a shine on you. It may not be the same kind of shine, but it'll be there. And folks will be able to see it. They'll be able to notice it. Take your Bible quickly, go to Romans 12. Changed into that same image from glory to glory. Stay away from the Bible and you'll be a dull believer. You'll be a dull believer. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You renew your mind by time spent around the things of God. The Holy Ghost changes you into that same image, even from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our God. It's like the oil making your face shine, like Moses' face shone. You'll get a shine on you that the Holy Ghost does that people won't be able to deny. It will be there. Folks, people will just be able to tell it. They'll see a difference. If you're in that book and letting the Holy Ghost transform you into that same image from glory to glory. Real quick, notice again, just some getting it all summed up here bit by bit. But sheep, king, priest, leper, sick, God's anointing sanctifies, enlightens, empowers, comforts, and heals. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 8. Let thy garments be always white. Basically telling you, live right, do right, stay straight, and let thy head lack no ointment. Let thy head lack no ointment. The New Testament fulfillment of that is Ephesians 5, 18. Be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Old Testament says, let thy head lack no ointment. New Testament application of that is, be filled with the Spirit. And brethren, the way to do that is, number one, have the Spirit by the new birth, and then don't let the oil flow stop. Don't let the oil flow stop. Go to Ephesians 4. This is where we're closing it up. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Do you know what those things will do? They will clog. They will block the flow of the Holy Ghost in your life. They will. Now, you're born of the Spirit of God. You have Him. But that flow, that outpouring of the Spirit of God will be blocked by bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor. I mean, it'll stop it up. Just stop that flow of the Spirit of God. Now, I want to ask you. All I can do is ask you. All I can do is ask you. All I can do is ask you to be honest. That's all I can do. Do you have any bitterness? Any wrath? Any anger? Any clamor? Any evil speaking? Put it away. You can do that. If you're saved, you can do that. Put it away. Put it away. You can do that. You just don't want to do it. And if you can't do it, you need to be born again. If you won't do it, if you won't do it, it's because you're just, you want to stay in that misery. Listen, brethren, I know this can be easy for me to say, but I'd be wrong not to say it. Brethren, our joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. Our joy is dependent upon the Holy Ghost being allowed to flow in our lives. No person is your problem. You are your own problem. No person is your problem. You are your own problem. What will stop the flow of the Holy Ghost? Bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking. Put it away. But now listen, watch this. It's not enough to get rid of the negative of verse 31. That's a start. You must put on the positive of verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Brethren, Baptists who, rightfully so, really get riled up over public nakedness, and rightfully so, tend to be, though, the most spiritually naked people there is. Because we tend to be good about
putting some things off.
But that's not enough. Brethren, if you put off and don't put on, you're naked. And that's not pleasing to God. That neutral position is not what God wants. It's not enough to say, well, I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm not full of wrath. Okay, that's good. But listen, but are you kind?
I don't know about that. Now look, I don't mind just not being angry and upset. But I just, see, you just want to stay neutral. That's not good enough. You're naked. You're spiritually naked. Because it says, put away the stuff of 31, put on the stuff of 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now listen to me. This whole thing has to do with that flow of the Spirit of God. We're not grieving the Spirit of God. We need to be honest with ourselves. We really do. We need to be honest with ourselves. Do you have a tender heart? Do you have a tender heart? Shoot, Brother Dawson. Go through some things I've gone through in my life. From the time I was young, it'll make your heart hard. Oh, I got you. I understand that. But it's not good. It's not how it needs to be. You need to be tender hearted. That's one of the ways God works in us. It's one of the things He does by His Spirit when that flow gets going again. That's how God would have us to do. Are you tender hearted? Do you have a tender heart? Now, I'm going to tell you something. One of the hardest things that you're going to work with in ministering to people and in just living a Christian life is maintaining a tender heart without getting bitter over the things that happened through the years. Because you're going to run into things that are going to hurt you, going to surprise you. You feel like maybe nothing shocks you no more. Sometimes maybe it doesn't. You're going to go through all kinds of things. And the key is to not let it make you hard or bitter, but go on loving and keeping on the Lord and doing right. And by doing that, you'll set yourself free. You'll keep yourself free. Now, I'm serious. But it's going to be one of your struggles. I mean, it's not enough just to say, well, I'm not bitter and I'm not angry. Well, are you tenderhearted? Are you tenderhearted? Look here, if your heart's not tender, and it has been before, ask God to help you. But now remember, He may help you. You tenderize meat by putting a pounding on it sometimes. So that's how He may do it, I don't know. But if your heart's not tender, and it used to be, ask Him to tenderize your heart. Because it says, look, be ye, what? Kind one another. Are you kind? Look, come on, bud. After you get hurt and things happen, you know what you don't want to be no more? You don't want to be kind. Hadn't you known some people that maybe they're not bitter or angry, but they're just kind of neutral, man. They just let life get to them, or they're just kind of like they're neutral. Man, that ain't good. That's naked. I mean, you got away the other stuff, but if you put on kindness, be ye kind one another. How's the kindness? How's a kindness? That's some kind of word, ain't it? Kind. Are you kind? I do my duty. I didn't say that. Are you kind? Kind of what? I guess that can go all kind of ways, huh? Are you kind? Be kind one another. And one another, being kind one another means everybody. That means in your family. That means your neighbors. That means everywhere. That means not being just kind to your neighbor. That means kind to the people in your house. Kind to your wife. Kind to your husband. Kind to your children. Kind to your parents. Kind to, you know, folks in the church. Kind. Kind-hearted. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Do you refuse to forgive somebody if they've asked for it? Are you holding unforgiveness? Well, look, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why should I forgive? Because Christ has forgiven me. And I need forgiveness on a daily basis. Now, if there's somebody in this room that will stand up, and I'm not being sarcastic, if there's somebody in this room that can stand up and tell you that for the most part, you go through a day and you just, there's nothing you need to get right. No wick that you need to trim, no feet that you need to wash, you know, you nothing you need to get right day by day. I'm pleased to meet you. I'd like to know the secret of it. You got something there. I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness from my Lord to maintain fellowship on a daily basis. And I don't want him resisting me. And one of that prayer that when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. One of the things that the Lord put in there was, Father, forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, that means if I'm expecting forgiveness from God to maintain fellowship with him, I need to be willing to grant it to others too. Not just in word, but in truth. But if we don't do that, we're going to block that flow of the Spirit of God. And we're not going to have, that anointing is not going to flow through us like it needs to, and like it ought to be pleasing to God and for the world to see that difference and something that would be appealing to them and it would help draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, above all, to be pleasing to the Lord. Be careful. It's easy to let something get in there and block a duct. You know, D-U-C-T, a duct. And boy, you get a blocked duct, you got trouble. A breastfeed mama gets a blocked duct, and she's going to be in some pain. One time, Sarah had a saliva gland. I had my daddy, too, got a blocked duct. And man, that was painful. You get a blocked duct where something can't flow, and you have some pain. And you know what? You get a blockage in your life to where the Spirit of God can't flow because there's something away there. It's going to make you miserable. You're going to be ornery. You'll put on the good act, but you'll be mean as a bear once you get in that car, once you get home. Man, why don't I get the thing right? And let the Spirit of God just flow on through there like he wants to, desires to be pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your word. Father, the psalmist David, the shepherd, said that you were his shepherd. You're the good shepherd. And Lord, David said that you anointed his head with oil. And Lord, you've done that for us. You've anointed us with your Spirit. And Father, we need the continual flow of the Spirit of God in our lives. Father, we need to walk in the Spirit. We don't need to grieve the Spirit. Father, if the Spirit of God is grieved, then best I can tell, Lord, that means that flow is not there, Lord. He's grieved, like something blocked. And Father, we can't be pleasing to you if that's so. So, Lord, if there's anything we need to remove, help us, Father, to get that thing out. That your Spirit could flow in our lives. We could have the joy we're supposed to have. We could be pleasing to you. And our lives would draw rather than repel. Father, we thank you. And we ask this in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen.